The changes to the mask policy and the tweaking of the pretest program are seen differently depending on your point of view. We talked to Keith Vieira of KBN Associates, a hospitality consulting firm. Vieira worked for decades with the former Starwood Hotels and Resorts chain. He sheds some perspective on the long view as we try and get our tourism industry back on its feet.
Certainly presents a challenge for visitors. The short term is always an issue, but I think this is more a long-term issue. Are you going to risk buying a ticket and not knowing that you're going to get an answer within 72 hours from wherever you're taking the test? No one guarantees it. I guess some are better than others, but people aren't sure of that. You know, buy your airline tickets. You got your airline ticket at risk. You got your hotel deposit at risk. And I think the real challenge is going to be for couples or families, because what if one person, numerous times people have been coming over here and, you know, they got three results, but they didn't get one of them. At that point, is that person going to, stay back? And is that person can't take the risk of coming over if he or she doesn't want to be in a 14-day quarantine? So I think that's going to be the real challenge. You're putting a lot of risk on the visitor, and it's expensive risk. In addition to your time management risk, and no other location that I'm aware of is doing this. So we're just going to make it harder for visitors to come back to Hawaii, at least in the foreseeable future until, maybe there's a vaccine or something. But right now, it's just going to make it harder, and it's going to really hurt the first quarter.
When we talked to the governor, he had mentioned that, I think they had a couple cases where people actually knew they were tested positive but still got on the plane.
Yeah, no, I think that's bad, obviously. But, what are you going to do? They only had 44 out of some ridiculous high number. There are always going to be holes. There's no way you can filter everything out. They know that. But, you want to get it to 99%. And I think you also have to look at the situation. If somebody, it's a husband and wife or a family or one of the kids, I think you're just putting too much risk on them, or get your partners to guarantee an answer in 72 hours, or change it to 5 days, not 72 hours, add another 2 days to it. Then give them a second test, some type of second test when they get here after a day or two or something like that. But just take the risk factor out of it. And then the other aspect is the rules keep on changing. So if you're a visitor deciding whether you're going to come back for the holidays or in the first quarter, are you going to take that risk? I wish one thing leadership would do here is every time they say safety is a priority, and everybody understands that, also say balancing safety with the economic viability of our island, with the economic viability of families in our island, has also got to be weighed into it all. You cannot just make every decision 100% only what's appropriately safe. There has to be some risk involved.
And what do you think about the mask mandate?
I think that's good. I think you got to get it simplified so that people understand it, although I will say it's still a bit confusing. But all those quarantine catchers and people that go to Waikiki and drive down and look and see, if you walk, I walk Waikiki sometimes myself for my exercise. I kind of walk, run. If there's nobody by me, I don't have my mask on, but I have a towel in case somebody does come by me, or if I'm going to go through a crowded area, I put on my mask. But if somebody takes a picture, look at this visitor, look at this person. They've done, an overall good job of getting the message strong in the market. And I don't think that has been the issue. The issue has been, housing clusters in large homes that have been a little bit more of a challenge. That was tied to contract tracing, which the state screwed up on.
So you don't think this mass shaming is a good idea?
No, it's not that I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's necessary. But again, if you're consistent by island, I think it's a good thing. I just get worried that, walking down the street, nobody by him, but a policeman says you're supposed to have it on. And then you get this, it's a crime. You'll have that on your record. My only concern is how do we grow back our economy? And right now, our economy now and in any type of future almost is going to be through the visitor industry. And it's tied to a sense of welcome, aloha spirit, people feeling good about coming here, people feeling that people here like them coming here. That's my concern, is that that brand message may change. I mean, you go to parts of Kauai, you know, you certainly don't feel welcome as a visitor. So it's going to be a challenge to make sure we keep, you know, our whole keep people still want to come here, because it is our economy.
Right, and we are hearing, you know, in some of the areas that are remote, you know, where safety and the narrow roads are an issue, that they're not real keen on welcoming crowds of tourists back.
I have a friend that lives, he used to work for me. He's retired. He lives in Waikiki. He's South African, and he has blonde hair and blue eyes, and he's about 70 years old, and he rides his bike all the time. Every day he tells me he gets yelled at how they go home. Every day. That's what I'm concerned about, because that's what's going to all of a sudden make us like all other destinations, and no more are we that welcoming, unique place. Now, that's an, you know, that's an extreme situation, but we can't lose what our core values are, that, you know, that our brand is known for. And there are people who feel that way.
We do have some bright spots with the Japan travel bubble and Canada.
Well, the Japan travel bubble is completely useless if they have to quarantine for 14 days going home. So I hope the state continues to work with the government there about, you know, we're one of the safest states in the country, allow them to go home without having to re-quarantine or take a test on this side 3 days before they depart, or whatever it is, so that we can actually get some visitor counts. Right now, it's just minuscule.
Yeah, you have to wonder about the airlines when they have a whole plane and only 65 people are on board.
Yeah, no, the fact Japanese are not going to come. There's going to be a few, but we're not going to get back to 1.5 million, 1.7 million Japanese visitors not having to quarantine. I mean, the reason they only stay here 5 nights is because most Japanese only take 7 days vacation at one time. So the last thing they're going to do is come here for 5 or 6 nights and then go home for 2 weeks and have to quarantine. You know, a few, you know, maybe retirees, but no, not as a whole.
And then the Canadian market, I know a lot of the snowbirds are going to be returning.
It's good timing for that, and I'm glad they tend to stay longer. They aren't necessarily always the biggest spenders, but right now that's all right. Let's get people back here and get people, and mainly get our employees back to work. People don't really understand the issue is the first quarter booking pace. If we want to recover sometime in 2021, we've got to increase the first quarter bookings. And I mean, the short term, the next month or two, are, I'm not going to say irrelevant, but it's certainly not going to make anything for anybody. And if we don't get consistent on our message, if we don't make our testing process simpler, if we don't create a warning message and ask visitors to come back, we have challenges up ahead. And, you know, a year running at 40, 50% occupancy means there'll be major layoffs, including those that are on furlough, will not be on furlough. They'll be completely laid off with no medical and on. So we've got to find some way to get those people back to work through an increased booking pace. We also, as a second part of that, we also have to send a consistent message to the group market. We're not a big group market. It's only probably 17 to 19% of our business. But the group market books in advance and allows you to plan around it or plan for it. And basically every single group that we had coming to Hawaii canceled. We have a chance to rebook them in the second half of 2021 and then for 2022. The groups all want to come back. But with the current message of no getting together and, you know, be on groups of 5 and 10 or whatever the specific rules are, they're not going to rebook. I think we have to plan that by the time we get to July, August, September, the fall of next year, that we'll be in a better place, and we have got to get these groups to book back. Otherwise, we're going to run that additional hole, and these groups will book elsewhere. And basically, you can almost go anywhere now without the difficulty you have coming to Hawaii.
You know, my heart does go out to the folks at the Hawaii Convention Center, because, you know, without those conventions, right?
You mean the State Capitol Junior?
Yes.
It's bad. And also, I mean, what people don't talk about relative to that is they were forced to eliminate their sales staffs. So conventions book generally 3 to 5 years out, but we don't have anybody selling that. Those people were all laid off. So, you know, again, we've got to work on certainly the short run, but it is as important to work on the long run and book those groups for 23, 24, 25 when we have to assume that you know, we can get together the group, and maybe if not a vaccine, there'll be other methods that we're dealing with this, because otherwise we're going to run some open times that are going to be really difficult for us.
Yeah, those hotel rooms are just going to sit empty.
You know, that's one thing, but more important is how do people get back to work? When the mayor says the other day that we have $400 million shortfall in city budget for next year, how are you going to fix that? You know, there's been no layoffs in the county and the city, city and county and state and federal workers, et cetera. I mean, they're all getting their pay, and good for them. I'm glad. But you just cannot continue this going on without your main source of revenue driving revenue.
Right. No hotel room tax, less money for the counties.
Yep, the GET loss is massive. How many more restaurants are going to close? And there's one opportunity that we have not yet taken advantage of. When people were flipping out, when they heard, 10 million visitors, too many. In 2009, there were 43,000 hotel rooms and 7 million visitors. In 2019, there were 10 million visitors arrivals and 43,000 hotel rooms. So basically, the jump from 7 million to 10 million was in alternative accommodations. People are staying in Airbnb, et cetera. And those people, who some of us do that, you know, every now and then traveling with a family, whatever, but basically those people are generally the ones that are at Costco buying sandwiches to go to the beach and the hiking trails. They have much more use of the natural resources of Hawaii. Okay, well, that's what they want to come here for. But it's not from the growth from the resorts. Mm-hmm. So we have this opportunity now when social distancing, in addition to no visitors, basically, that we could have set up apps for all of our hiking trails and other visitor attractions, publicly open visitor attractions, that would have allowed people to maybe book a time, manage their use of how many people hike Diamond Head, charge for their parking or admission to the park or the hiking trail, and then use it during social distancing to make sure that we don't have a trail with 1,000 people that should have 100. But that would boil over well for us, is that when the visitor market does return, we could continue to manage our resources. You know, if you go hiking in California, you want to go in the Redwoods, you go online, you make a time Tuesday between 10 and 12, and they charge you for your car and they charge you for per person, and then you go at it. I mean, the only place that does a little of that is Hanama Bay, but it's not on an app.
Right.
You have to go out and hit and miss. So why not manage the resources, take this opportunity to manage the resources, because that's what people are upset about. When you go to a place that should have 100 people and there's 1,000. We've had eight months. What do they have HVCB doing? HVCB is tracking quarantine, people on quarantine. They should be planning on how we better manage our resources coming out of this.
That was Keith Vieira of KV & Associates, a local hospitality consulting firm, sharing his thoughts on what the state ought to be doing to help people in the visitor industry get back at work.